Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Ooh, we have some spicy news coming out of college football. But is it real or simply speculation or negotiation? Huh. That could be interesting. You heard that story from Dan Beyer, if you weren't paying attention. Houston Chronicle reporting. Now, they are the only ones reporting. Does not mean we're going to diminish from the validating. But the story begins, a decade after major conference realignment shook up college football, big changes might again be on the horizon. Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12, both reached out to the Southeastern Conference about potentially joining the powerful league. A high-ranking college official with knowledge of the situation told the Houston Chronicle on Wednesday. Ooh. Now, remember, there's a lot that goes into it. A lot. The Texas thing, of course, what you would run into with Texas would be the possibility of A&M blocking Texas from joining the SEC, right? You do realize you're listening to the guy. I was the one who broke the story that A&M was going to the SEC and Missouri was going with them. I also did say that Clemson and Georgia Tech were likely to try and follow. What happened there? Well, you had Georgia, and Kentucky and South Carolina and some of the ones bound together and say, now we only want one school from our state, you know, one school from our state in the SEC. So A&M already being in, that could limit them. And then the other problem would be Oklahoma. Would they be able to leave Oklahoma State in the Big 12? The answer is probably not. So reaching out and talking about it, starting a conversation, doesn't actually mean something's going to happen. But it is interesting, and it does allow us to speculate. All right, let's get to the story of the day, which is the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Craig Kishon joins us, Bally Sports Wisconsin host. He joins the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Craig, how would you explain the juxtaposition of Milwaukee today as opposed to Milwaukee a couple weeks ago? Series was 2-0. They got smashed by the Nets. From that place to the, how did we get here? What's it feel like to go from a foregone conclusion the Nets are going to beat the Bucks to the Bucks being champions of the NBA?
It's a great question. It's a tough one to answer outside of starting with Giannis. I mean, I don't know how you just can't start with him. And if you have somebody on your team that has the will to win and succeed, it's rare that all teams have somebody like that, let's face it. But I think he's the one that's come out now, and it's his turn. And he took his turn in the NBA and all of pro sports right now to be that frontline elite player, because elite players put their teams on their back. I mean, after that 0-2 deficit against Brooklyn, you move on to the Atlanta series, and he hyperextends his knee, and I think, including myself and him, he thought maybe he was done for a year. And to get back on his feet a few days later and finish out the finals the way we saw last night with 50 points is really a rare thing, a special thing to watch.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I think winning a title is one thing, but to do so and playing as well and shooting as well from the free throw line as he did, I thought that was kind of a special finishing move that puts a nice little cherry on top of the championship run, as opposed to just surviving the way they had in some other games.
Yeah, the whole free throw thing did it. It silenced some critics. I think the 50-point performances last night silenced the critics as well. And I honestly, Doug, don't know how better way to put it than this 26-year-old just solidified himself into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, already. He's done everything. He's accomplished absolutely everything there is to accomplish in the NBA right now at a young age. And I think we saw that last night. And because he's only 26, who knows what else he wants to do? Who knows what else he's going to set out to accomplish? But you certainly can't bet against him at this point moving forward, that's for sure.
Okay, so what now? What are the biggest challenges for the Bucks in order to keep this thing going?
Well, I think it's, you know, the continuing process. You know how it is becoming the NBA. You have your core players right now, and they have their core three back for a number of years yet in Giannis, Middleton, and Jrue Holiday. So to me, that's such a huge step that they have those three guys. And the last several years, you know, look no further than what the Bucks have done. They'll change 7, 8, 9, 10 players from one year's roster to the next. But that's how the NBA's been shaping itself up with teams lately. So you just continue to surround him with players like you seek and that are capable of winning a championship like this. And I think the biggest thing, you know, let's face it, the biggest thing outside of your core great players, you have to bring people in that understand their role. And I'm quite certain at least 7 or 8 deep on this team completely understands their role. And they all took their turns throughout the finals and understood their roles and shined at times. And other times, if they didn't, someone else was able to take their turn. So that's what they just need to keep doing right now.
Kind of crazy how it all came together, right? Like, I mean, I know the new arena is 2 years old, but like the building the new arena and investing and fans being back and being able to have all those fans outside, and the year after Giannis signs the big deal to stay in Milwaukee, like all those things converging and coming together. Timing is everything in life. It feels like the timing in sports really is remarkable for the Bucks.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and to add that in there, you know, the great point you bring up, because they had the best record in the NBA just before the pandemic hit. And I think a lot of people in March of last year, the way they were rolling, would have easily said, yep, they're going to wind up with the top seed, home court advantage, and see what they can do to make a championship run for a second year in a row, because the previous year they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So then the pandemic hit, and they didn't play well in the bubble. They collapsed, and then they had to recover in front of no fans like everyone else did to start this season. I don't know. I don't want to say team of destiny. I don't know what it, everybody kind of went through the same things, but they were an elite team before all this hit, and they didn't look like it when they resumed in the bubble. And I think a lot of people just said, you know what, there's the Nets put their guys together, and there's better teams out there, and you can't bet against LeBron if he's healthy and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of those things definitely align their way, but you know what? Somebody's got to be a champion at the end, and you're only a champion if you play your style of basketball to the very end. And I think they did that. And I know Giannis was capable of having a 50-point game. I didn't expect it last night, but now we know, regular season or playoffs or NBA championship finals game, you know, he's capable of doing anything.
He is capable of doing anything. What about Mike Budenholzer? Do you think he would have been fired had they lost to the Nets?
I'm not going to say yes for sure, but I know that it was probably under heavy consideration. I think that he needed to make the run that they made. I don't know if he needed to win the championship to stay aboard, but they needed to show up to the very last game and look like they were a Coach Bud coach team. So they got past all of it, and now the franchise is going to decide, you know, what to do. They made it clear the other day that he has a year left on his contract, and they'll decide, his fate or a contract extension, I would assume, at some point after this all ends here.
It is nuts. All right, so parade in a day, right? Like this thing.
Tomorrow,
Parade's tomorrow. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Summerfest later on this summer. Like this is like all-time times to be in Milwaukee. Any word on whether or not number 12 that plays up in the northern part of the state is going to show up at the parade?
Well, you didn't show up at the game last night, and if you're going to show up and support your local and the team that you also have money in, it would have been last night for sure, because it was the last home game no matter what.
Yeah,
it's going to be – it's, you know what, Doug? Here's the funny thing, because the last time that you and I talked, you know, I brought this up with Rodgers being, you know, a minority owner in the Bucks, but not being at any games. I'm certain he would have get booed right out of the arena yesterday if he would have showed up. But the thing that I find interesting is just a few days ago, Giannis's post game comments about, you know, you can't look in the past because it shows your ego, and you know, about not thinking too far into the future and playing for the present right now is where you check yourself. And all of the things that he said that seemed to be embraced, you know, on a national basis is just about everything that number 12 is not doing right now. And it's in the same state. And these are the same fans we all showed up for Bucks games and watched and whatever. They're all Packer fans too. So there's going to be an interesting twist of emotions and intelligence, I think, going on here. In the next weeks, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so as well. It's going to be fascinating. I don't think he would have been booed last night, but I definitely think there was a win out there for him to have, and he chose not to have so, right? Like, he didn't have to commit to coming back to the Packers to just show up and, you know, pound a beer on the big screen, I think would have been enough. And I know that's not who Aaron is, right? Aaron,
right?
Like he digs the privacy more than anything. But I do think there was a win to be had that he gave away. It wouldn't have outshone the team. But I think he would have won some people over.
Yeah, well, he might have. I certainly don't doubt that. But I guarantee it. People were ready to boo at the same time. So who knows? But he didn't face the music one way or the other. That we know for a fact.
Yeah, he's such a talented player. It's so crazy where this thing
has
gone. Well, listen, enjoy the parade. It's obviously a special year, a remarkable turnaround, even in the playoffs. Thanks for being our guest.
You got it. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Craig Koshon, of course, Bally Sports Wisconsin host, at Craig Koshon. That's Koshun if you want to connect on Twitter. The story of the 2020 NFL season is already becoming the story of the 2021 NFL season. I will explain next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the smile that you used to. I look funny. And, you know, I'm making money. Sorry, what? Rest in peace to Shock G, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You didn't know I had that in me, did you, John?
I actually did, because I was like, because you've done a couple of rapping sessions earlier on in the shows.
Oh, yeah. That's a good break, y'all. The more I read and the more people I talk to about this Oklahoma-Texas story, the more it's like one of those cleverly worded, not ever going to happen, but boy, it sure adds some sizzle to the day. You know, one person who has knowledge of the situation is not multiple sources reporting something is going to happen. Multiple sources reporting something's going to happen, right? Daniel Jeremiah will join us in a second. We'll get you ready as Cowboys camp is underway. All these teams are underway. You know, it's interesting. We've gone from basketball to football season, and last week the talk was of Shohei Ohtani, and, well, why isn't he more of a household name when he's a baseball superstar? And my argument is baseball. You know, just I can't make something happen. I can't make you care about something you haven't shown the desire to care about. Right? Does being on the Angels hurt him? Losers of three in a row? Of course. But it is in fact baseball. Right? Baseball is a bit of the witness protection program for young stars, and the Angels are the witness protection program in Southern California for baseball stars. But sometimes that's what those guys want, right? Shohei Ohtani chose the Angels. He knew a lot of the pitfalls to it. Chose the Angels. But like, here's the greatest point is if you want to know why he's not a bigger name star, you get done with Giannis and now all sights turn on football, not on Shohei Ohtani. It's because of baseball more than anything else. Let's get you to Dan Beyer before we get you to Daniel Jeremiah. What do you got, DJ?
I am a DJ. Houston Chronicle, as you mentioned, reported Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC about joining the league and forming a 16-school conference. Now, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey wouldn't comment to CBSSports.com on the speculation, but later said, "We are only worried about the 2021 season. Quote, somebody dropped a report from unnamed people." End quote. That's what the SEC Commissioner had to say about that.
We are only worried
about the 2021 season, and then said that somebody dropped a report from unnamed people.
Well, I don't mind the unnamed. Yeah, but unnamed people, like, that's sourcing. That's what you do, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. I hate that when people go like, oh, unnamed source. Deep Throat was an unnamed source. Just so aware. Brought down the White House. Deep Throat is an unnamed source. I mean, you don't name your sources.
Yeah, then you don't have sources anymore.
Correct. So dumb. Well, of the things that we consistently do, that may be the dumbest or most disingenuous. And athletes do it because they don't understand. Like, right, when you're in your, you just maybe don't have the wherewithal. But when heads of commissioners go like, oh, I'm named sources, like, come on, dude, you know how this works. Anyway, go ahead.
No worries. Bobby Bowden, legendary Florida State football coach, announced he's dealing with a terminal medical condition, telling the Tallahassee Democrat he is at peace with his diagnosis. Bowden's 91 years old. In the NFL, the 49ers linebacker Fred Warner came to terms on a contract extension. 5 years, $95 million, getting $40 million in guarantees, according to reports. Now, the Colts and linebacker Darius Leonard were waiting in the wings. ESPN says they're working on a deal that would surpass Warner's contract, which would be worth more than the $19 million in annual salary. Day baseball, some finals to report. Austin Meadows, a walk-off 2-RBI single. Had the Rays top the Orioles 5-4. Marcus Stroman allowed just one hit in 8 innings as the Mets blanked the Reds 7-0. And the Padres in a doubleheader against Atlanta.
3-1 pitch, that's into the air. Deep to left field. It was a fastball, and it got lost. 2-run home run, Fernando Tatis Jr. He's 29th of the season. And the Padres extend their lead 3-0 here in the fifth.
True story, Doug. I thought maybe I should have NFL leading into your next guest, and then I thought maybe that highlight was even better. Padres Radio Network, number 29 for Tatis. Padres take game one of a doubleheader against the Braves, 3-2 on the Padres Radio Network. Doug, back to you.
Thank you so much. Speaking of Padres, Daniel Jeremiah is the biggest Padre fan that comes on this show. He does so on a weekly basis. He also covers the Chargers, who I drove by where their training camp is. I saw the stands that are getting ready to go up, or I think the stands are up, so they're about ready to have people out there. I think we're going out there, aren't we, Ramos? Did that get confirmed?
We're talking about the Rams or the Chargers?
Well, Rams and the Chargers. I went by the Chargers yesterday.
Okay.
We're going to the Chargers, aren't we?
I don't know. I don't know right now. I think Dan may know more about that than I do.
I think that we will be at the Rams for sure. Chargers likely.
Chargers will be.
It's just more of setting a date. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. Setting a date. Thank you so much, Dan. I love that Dan knows way more than I know about. Dan's the one who pays attention to those texts. I'm like, yeah, I saw a text about it. I'm not sure. Daniel Jeremiah joins us. DJ, how big a loss is it for the LA Rams to lose their starting running back at this point in time in the preseason?
Okay, it's a great question, and I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. But I took some notes, Doug, because during the update, you talked about Deep Throat and, obviously unnamed sources. So I wrote down three options I'm going to let you choose. If I ever use you as my unnamed source,
Yeah.
I wrote down, they got to be two words. So I have nice handles. I have no look. Mm. And I have one ACL. So it's your choice, whichever.
I think one ACL would be a dead giveaway.
Okay.
No look, I think. Or just, you could just do, you could just do blind pass or just blind, whatever, you know? So if you do no look, it's too obvious, but blind, okay, which would be no look, would maybe.
And you're kind of giving me an assist. You know, you're giving me information. Yeah. Like it kind of works together there.
It does.
We'll go with that.
It really does. Have you ever torn your ACL?
No. I've done Achilles, and I've had two MCLs, and I've done a meniscus.
When you do the MCL, how do they fix the ligament?
So, I had the first one I did was at Appalachian State, and I don't know that I necessarily got the best medical care at that time in 1998. So they went in, and I still have about a 6-inch scar on the inside of my knee where they had to go back in and actually like kind of tacked it back down. And I had torn part of my hamstring when I did that as well. So they went in there, screws, the whole deal. And then I did it again on the other leg a couple years later, and it was like, yeah, no, we don't operate on this anymore. Like it's just you straight leg brace it. And then, you know, just rehab and then you're back and ready to go. But I'm like, well, wait a second. 2 years ago, you just sliced my knee open like 6 inches. And now 2 years later, they don't do that anymore. Like good timing.
Okay. So that actually leads me to the Tom Brady. We're making that to be super heroic that they tore his MCL at some point in time. But you've torn your MCL. Is that manageable?
Yeah, I was out, and I'm I don't profess to be any kind of a tough guy, so I was out for, you know, I think maybe during the season when I did it, I think that put me down for 3 or 4 weeks, but I was the option quarterback, so I mean, I ran around, like not having, you know, my leg to be able to do that severely inhibited our ability to run our offense, so if I was going to be in the shotgun just sitting back there and had enough arm strength, which I didn't, to just, you know, stick and pick and do that, I would have probably been able to play through it a little earlier.
Okay, so let's get back to the Rams. How big a loss? Yes.
No, I think it's a big loss because stylistically, he's a really good young player, and Cam Akers, and I think stylistically, he gave him some physicality, which when you want to throw the ball and be as creative as they are, there's still that offense in the Super Bowl year was a great example. Was at their best when they not only could run the ball a little bit, but they were able to run it with some physicality when you had to run it. And Gurley gave them that at that point in time. And I thought Cam Akers, fresh legs, yes, but just runs behind his pads. He can get you tough yards. I think they'll still be able to, you know, run the ball between the 20s and they'll be able to make some, you know, things happen because that outside zone scheme is so good. But to me, it's short yardage, those tough grind out yards inside the tight red zone. I thought Akers had something that the rest of their backs don't in terms of that physicality. So I do think they'll miss it.
Yeah, and this was also, one, potentially a breakout year for him. Two, I mean, that's a big part of how they really want to play. One, they need Stafford to be able to push the ball down the field. But, I mean, truth be told, Sean McVay wants to run the football. You know, much like Kyle Shanahan, doesn't mean it's the same system, but everything they do is predicated on their ability to run the football, isn't it?
No doubt. And, you know, I still think, you know, I was going back and looking because you see some of these names when you look at the roster, you say, okay, who's going to fill in? And then the one running back was Davion Nixon, I believe, was a guy that I had liked coming out. I didn't even remember it, but somebody had posted a video I had posted when he was coming out of SMU. He was undrafted. And he's got some talent. So they've got some talent back there, but they don't have anybody quite like Cam Akers. But I do have another question for you, Doug, which is, I was talking about this with Bucky on the podcast the other day, and speaking of Stafford and the Rams.
By the way, the podcast is Move the Sticks. You should download it. It's a great listen. All things football. He and Bucky Brooks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I appreciate you. So the comparison I made was, because, you know, Stafford gets hit with the lack of postseason success, first overall pick, you know, there for an extended period of time. It didn't happen, so he catches some of that heat, some of that blame. I thought the comparison for him that I've never heard people talk about would be Carson Palmer, you know, because Carson, I looked it up. He had 2 winning seasons when he was there in Cincinnati. Obviously, he had to wait for a minute to get on the field, but I think he was there for six, 7 years. And the success came kind of after he left with Andy Dalton, where they reeled off all those divisional games in a row. Now, obviously, he got hurt in the playoff game against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that, I think that you look at kind of the expectation, and nobody doubted the skill level of Carson. Everybody knew how talented he was. It didn't work out at the second stop with the Raiders, but then he found his way to the Cardinals and had a lot of success there in that brief period of time. So I thought that was an interesting kind of a career parallel for Matthew Stafford that people don't really talk about.
So, I mean, Steve Young, he failed in the USFL. I don't remember what he did in USFL, but with Tampa Bay Buccaneers before he, you know, he took over a ready-made team in the Niners. It's a little bit different and a more successful team. He took over Joe Montana's team, right? Mm-hmm. There have been guys. Yeah, but that's the big question.
I mean, the first pick in the draft, both those guys.
We have no idea, though, how he will perform at the highest level when everything matters, right? It's a hard one. It's a different sport in the playoffs. It's a different attention to detail. Things matter differently. But he has all the talent, and from what I've been told by Rams guys, like, they never felt like the offense the Lions ran even fit his skill set, whereas they feel like their offense fits what he does way better than anything he's done before.
Yeah, you're going to have to defend every blade of grass when you play the Rams now. Where in the past, you know, a lot of condensed formations, a lot of those over routes, a lot of the, you know, working in the middle of the field. Jared Goff is very comfortable and confident working in there. Now I think you're going to see stuff outside to the perimeter with his arm strength. He's going to be able to reach areas of the field that they just haven't been able to reach previously.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ben Roethlisberger is like going to go basically vegan. You know, great, best shape of his life. You know, don't worry. It feels like that's actually admitting that, to me, it's great, right? It's never a wrong time to do the right thing, get yourself in shape. But isn't it admitting that he didn't do the work for a long time?
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily ever hid from that. The fact that he didn't do that in terms of taking care of his body. Now, the success that he had is probably a pretty good defense of his training methods. But as that started to, the performance started to fall off, I think he kind of reached that point where it's like, okay, you know, I need to put a little bit more time and effort into maintaining my body. Also, I think, you know, losing what he lost through that arm injury. Now, hopefully he's going to have a little bit more of that back after he's further removed from that. But it's good to see he's in great shape. But Doug, when I look at this team, and I've always been, you know, have so much respect for the Steelers, having worked in that division for a couple different teams. And I always, they're kind of my default, you know, just when in doubt, just you can go with the Steelers to make a, you know, have a good year because they've been so consistent for decades now. But this offensive line is not good. I don't like the changes that they made to address it to try and get better. And I thought the field shrunk last year because Ben couldn't, you know, physically push the ball down the field. I don't, even if his arm's feeling better, I don't know that he's going to have the time to be able to push the ball down the field. I just don't think they're very good up front, and that might not be the best division to be bad up front in.
I would agree with you. That is an incredible division, especially considering the talent that Cleveland has, the sneaky talent that Cincinnati has been able to accumulate from years of being bad. And then, of course, you have Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, I guess my question on Baltimore is this. The people I've talked to in the NFL are like, look, you like Lamar, and he's had great success in this short period of time. But if you're going to pay him that next big contract, then something's got to give. And he's had Super Bowl caliber defenses the past couple of years. Is this the last year that they can do it because of the contract that he's still under?
Yeah, I think they're going to end up having to pay and pay big. And we talked about this, I think, last week, you know, in terms of how they decide to do that. To me, it would be, I'm okay with a higher average over a shorter amount of years. You know, I don't know that I want to make the long-term commitment, but I think I would be okay with doing it for the next 2 to 3 years to pay him handsomely, because I think he'll be able to hold up during that period of time. But no, yeah, this is go time for this group. You know, they're ready to win right now. And the scary thing is, I think when you look at Cleveland, Cleveland not only has you could argue a more talented roster, 53-man roster than the Ravens do. Now they've also shown that this is not just kind of a one-off. They didn't just kind of fall into some players and get lucky. They've kind of proven with their current structure and their leadership there with Andrew Berry kind of running the show that they know how to draft. So, and that's been the Ravens' big advantage, is they don't have those lulls where they have a bad, you know, couple years of drafting. They draft good players every year. And now you have Cleveland in that division, which I think has a little bit of a talent advantage at this point in time. And you can't count on the fact they're going to screw it up every April. They're just, they're not. They're too well run right now, which is weird to say about the Browns.
What happens with Deshaun Watson this year? Best guess.
The only thing I would feel good about saying is I think that his next snap will be with either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Miami Dolphins. And I would imagine, you know, that snap wouldn't take place in the first half of the season. I mean, and this is just me guessing here.
Yeah.
But those are the two teams that I would imagine he's going to be playing for, one of those two next. I don't ever see him taking a snap with Houston. I do imagine, you know, once this stuff gets kind of settled, that he's going to have a punishment from the league, which I can't imagine being, you know, less than, you know, 6-8 games. I would think they'd be a pretty stiff penalty. But again, that's just all my, you know, speculating and what I think could happen.
How did we miss on Tua?
Let's not get the final verdict in at this point in time. Let's give him a little more time to see what he can do. But, you know, he didn't have a kind of a wow trait. You know, he's not a huge guy. He doesn't have a huge arm. He's a good, not great athlete. I thought the best thing that he has going for him is that he's got really, really quick hands. He's really outstanding in the RPO game. So I think they're going to continue to craft that offense around the things that he does really well, where he's very comfortable, and that's going to be trying to RPO people to death. So that's kind of the challenge when you're playing in a system in Alabama and with the players that he had around him. You're gonna thrive. You're gonna be successful. You've got to find a way to still evaluate the player inside that that system with that skill. So that's why those evaluations are tough.
Yeah, but the no wow traits, and I agree with you. Like, look, it's just his first year, but that's really what jumped out at me. Like, there wasn't a, you know, it's like young quarterbacks. It's a lot like playing golf, right? You got to just give me just one throw that makes you go like, oh, okay, I see it now, and it just didn't appear to have that. But how did, I mean? Look, you go back 2 years ago, and there was tank for Tua talk. Like, this was the next guy to, like, yeah, I'm not really sure. It does feel like we missed some on the eval.
Well, I think he had a couple things going for him. I think Drew Brees, which has been kind of a unicorn, right? I think if you looked, if he went through next to Drew, you would say, okay, these guys are the same size, probably similar athletes. You look at arm strength, similar, and Drew's been, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's been a great quarterback in this league for two decades. So I think that was the comparison that you hung on to. And he played, look, he threw the ball really accurately at Alabama and then before the hip, and you got to give him some time to come back and get another year removed from that as well. So it's a very, very narrow path when you're talking about comparisons with his skill set that have had great careers. But I do think you kind of clung to that Drew Brees hope, and, you know, and to his own self admission, he didn't put in the time that you need to put in. And that's something that, you know, Drew Brees is head and shoulders above just about anybody that's ever played the game in terms of the preparation. So that's going to have to jump way up if he's going to have a chance to be successful.
If you were a betting man, how many games does Cam Newton start for the Patriots this year?
I will say Cam starts 6 games. And that gives that the hedge, because I could, that could be the first 6 games. That could be, you know, a couple here, and then we'll see what happens with a quarterback that hasn't really been hit, getting hit for the first time. So he could end up filling in at that point in time as well. But I'll say when you add it up, 17 game season, I'll say he finds his way into 6 of them as a starter.
That's Daniel Jeremiah. DJ joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. DJ, thanks so much for joining us. This is, what is I? This is Blind, and I'm out.
Yeah, there you go. Later.
Daniel Jeremiah joins us at Move the Sticks is the podcast. All right, coming up next, we get to what the Fox said, including, are the Bucks a super team? Food for thought. We'll get to it next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the studios of Fox Sports Radio, here's Doug Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, ringing that bell, ding dong. Every day at this time of the Doug Gottlieb Show, we do is, I don't do it. Just to be honest, I don't do much anything. What we do is, we got a great crew in studio, and they listen to every show. Who?
Lee and Ryan. That's, you know, good producers. Lee and Ryan? Yeah.
Could we just combine the two of them, make them one person? LaRyan? Leon? Riley?
There we go.
Riley. Anyway, they listen to every show, and they find one thing that's interesting. We call it... Steven Jackson, NBA champion, was on First Things First. He had this to say about Giannis saying he didn't have to join a super team to win a championship.
He's on a super team. You got Jrue Holiday. You got a closing Middleton. He's the most dominant player that I've seen in a long time, and I got to give him his credit. But he has a closer. He has a closer. Same thing, just like Shaq had. Shaq was the most dominant, but he had a closer in Kobe. And you have Jrue Holiday, one of the best defenders in the game. So don't make it seem like your team is just a whole bunch of D-leaguers. You know, you have one D-leaguer that's an all-star now. So you have a super team. You might not have super names and guys that selling tennis shoes, but you have a super a super team. Don't diminish your teammates.
I don't think he's – I think we're using – like, let's contextualize what he means in super team. For people who don't know what Steven Jackson is referring to, Ramos, if you could pull up the tape of what Giannis said about not needing to join a super team, it doesn't diminish your teammates, right? Let's truly explain. This is what Giannis had to say at his post-game press conference. Oh, well, we'll get to it in 1 second. The idea is, like, what is a super team? A super team is forming a team of all-stars where one previously did not exist or exist nearly on that level. And I think it's obviously a direct shot at the Brooklyn Nets. But he's not the only super team, whatever. Take a listen.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was, like, on our side. And... you know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team, and you know, just do my part and win a championship. Still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
They did it, and you can't take it. I mean, the reality is, like, they had a lot of things going their way. The injuries to the Nets, who were completely dominant. Like, the Nets were 40 points better than them in the game before Kyrie Irving got hurt, and that was before James Harden came back. Like, the Nets are so much better than the Bucks. It was stupid, and they matched up better with them. So let's not pretend like the Bucks are the best team. They were the healthiest team, and he played great, and it's not the first time. We've had other teams that were that people believe are great teams that really had an easy run to the finals as well. So I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just telling you the reality of it. But I would also go back at Steven Jackson. Nobody thinks the Bucks are a super team. I love Jrue Holiday. Most NBA players love Jrue Holiday, okay? But you wouldn't consider Jrue Holiday a top five at his position guy. He's a tremendous, tremendous all-around player, tremendous defensive player. An up and down shooter, kind of in between position guy, but he fits what they need. He does. But that's not a super team. A super team is creating a team of all-stars where one previously didn't exist, right? The Miami Heat, and I know they had won a championship, but the Miami Heat adding two all-stars – from the Eastern Conference, completely pulling out the chair of the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you have LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh at the same time, all relatively in some part of their prime. That's a super team. The Boston Celtics were a super team with Kevin Garnett and then Paul Pierce, who was already there. And then eventually they added Ray Allen. Like, that's three super, that's a super team. The Lakers getting LeBron James, then adding Anthony Davis. That is some form of super team. The Golden State Warriors, who we should point out they lost in the NBA Finals before KD joined them. But with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, it's a super team. Heck, the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James. Like, that's one of the things that really is irritating. The Cavs had a number one overall pick in Kyrie Irving. They added LeBron James and Kevin Love. And Kevin Love is a perennial all-star and seen as the best power forward in basketball. That was a super team. Those are super teams. And creating teams where one previously didn't exist. That's not what the Bucks are. The Bucks were a very, very good team that, you know, they brought in Middleton. They drafted Giannis. And they made a move to get Jrue Holiday to put them over the top after trying to figure out the point guard situation for a couple years. It's not a super team. It doesn't mean your team isn't super, but it's not a quote-unquote super team. What does the Fox say? Eddie House will join us upcoming next. Most people have been critical of Mike Budenholzer. How much credit does he deserve for the Bucks championship? Does this mean that Giannis is the best player in the sport just because he was the best player in Game 6, the last game in the sport? And what's the league going to look like next year? Eddie House, an NBA champion, will join us and tell us next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.